You know, I am constantly surprised in this church. We have people from Columbia, from Atlanta, Georgia, from New York City, from all over, from the School of the Arts, everywhere. Thanks be for the richness in this church. The scriptures I'm going to read today are two. One of them didn't make its way in the bulletin, but it's not that long. You'll be okay. It's 2 Timothy, verses 4 through 6 and 16 through 18. It's kind of Paul's reflection on his life. He knows he's getting older, his days are numbered, but he still has things to say. And so he has these last words, and he says, "I've been poured out as libation." That's a word for a sacrifice. He's reflecting on his life. So Paul says this, "As for me, I have already been poured out as a libation, a sacrifice, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but all those who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support." A little whiny here, "but all deserted me." But then there's this generousness. "May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, and through that gave me a message that could be fully proclaimed, that all Gentiles, all non-Jews could hear it. And so I was rescued from the lion's mouth, and the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." And then from Hebrews, that's the one in your bulletin, chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Often these are words read at All Saints Sunday or All Saints Wednesday, whenever you celebrate it. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us." It seems like being a Presbyterian or maybe even a Protestant is a disadvantage on All Saints Sunday. Because in my church and over across the bay in the community church, we never talked about All Saints Day. And it didn't happen in a lot of my churches, probably for 20 years. And I kind of envied my Catholic friends, and when they became confirmed, they got to pick a new name, a saint. And I thought that saints were those perfect people, Mary, the Mother of God, Saint Francis, Mother Teresa. I knew my friends picked names of saints they wanted to emulate, that they wanted to be like. My priest friend said sometimes they just picked names that would drive their parents crazy because they were so obscure. I didn't know for years that my Catholic friends had saint trading cards. Like, "I'll trade you a Saint Joseph for, a Saint Bartholomew." Nadia Voigt-Weber talks about a card that she has. She's a Lutheran pastor, but she says, "I'm a sucker for a good saint." And many of you might know that when this church was starting, I had a stack of saint cards. Saint cards are like trading cards for the Catholic Church. Their picture is on the front, and their stats, and like the spiritual powers, were listed on the back. Well, I had a stack of them, but they were all the same saint. Saint Dafinia, who is my favorite. Not exactly a famous saint as saints go. Saint Dafinia was the daughter of a pagan Irish king and his Christian wife in the 7th century. Sadly, she was murdered by her father, but before her death, she is said to found a home for the ill, and many crazy people reportedly became less crazy when they were around her. That's right, Saint Dafinia is officially my saint. She's the patron saint of the nervous, the patron saint of the emotionally disturbed, the patron saint of the mentally ill, the patron saint of those who have neurological disorders, and she's mine. See, there's something about saints that is you pick one because you can relate to them, because they know your pain. They offer hope. They remind us that no one is forgotten. And it's about being connected. Connected to those that have gone before you, to that great cloud of witnesses, and to those that are still here on earth. And so I wasn't surprised when I went to Nice, France, and went to a little church that wasn't very big, kind of well-loved, and their patron saint was Saint Rita. Saint Rita is the saint of desperate causes, and the city people go there. She is their favorite. Everyone finds comfort in her. But it was this passage in Hebrews that helped me understand that saints really aren't perfect people. And if you looked in the lives of the people on those cards, you would find out that they were not perfect people. They were people that God loved, and they're people that followed God with clarity, and many times to the point to their death. I think of Mother Teresa, who has become a saint in my lifetime, this amazing woman who followed Jesus into a life of poverty, caring for the poor and the dying and the untouchable in the streets and the gutters of India, who admitted in one of her journals that she found it hard to pray. These are her words. "I utter words of community prayer and try my utmost to get out every word for the sweetness it has to give. But my prayer is not there any longer, for I cannot pray." This one of God also had dark nights of the soul. So saints are flawed people whom God uses, whom God loves. Saints doesn't mean perfect. It's about those who God loves, surprise, that is you, and have shown God's love to others, that God's love has shined through them. So flawed, real people who have made mistakes, and yet God loves them and loves us. Nadia Voltz Weber puts it this way: what we celebrate when we celebrate All Saints Day is not the superhuman faith and power of a select few, but God's ability to use flawed people to do divine things. We celebrate the fact that God creates faith in God's people, and that those people, through ordinary acts of love, bring the kingdom of God closer here on earth. We celebrate that we have, and all those who have gone before us, we celebrate that what Paul calls this great cloud of witnesses. and the faithful departed are as much of the body of Christ as we are. So today we remember deeply faithful and deeply flawed saints of God, whom through the glory of God have revealed God's love, and God's love is being revealed still. I have to admit that I come to this All Saints Day a little tired. I come to this stewardship season a little weary, a bit overwhelmed, somewhat tired of heart. I feel like I've been running a race and I haven't been doing it very well. A little loss of energy and direction. I see spaces in this pew. I see where James Urine sits, and I just miss him. I don't remember the way of love and humor he taught me. I think of this church and I say, oh, there's more space in this pew. And I think, you know, if I would just preach a little better, if I had a vision for this church, if I could read a book and then share a program, then everything would be okay. When did I start thinking I was running this race by myself? When did I think that I had the vision and this responsibility was mine? Seems like I'd forgotten my direction a little bit. For running a race means we're on a journey. It's more like a relay race where we pass the baton. I'm not running it by myself. We're running it together, and we're following the pioneer who set the path. We're following Christ. And did I forget that God calls not perfect, but real and flawed people? And not just one, but many of us. I forgot the image of the saints running alongside us. It's like they're the cheering section, and they're handing out water and reminding us of the way to go. Because we have had really amazing saints in this church. I think of the saints that when this church was bombed as a firebreak in 1906, they of the city and Presbyterians around the country helped build this church. They didn't have earthquake insurance, and everyone was devastated, but people pulled together and built a church that is still being used and will be used in the future. Those that have gone before us have showed us how to offer love and welcome and justice. And there are still stories to tell and stories to learn and a race to be run. Maybe we don't see this time, my diminishing of strength, as a loss, but God can work a new thing. God can show us the path we're yet to go. And if someone stumbles, the other one picks us up. I may not have a great idea, but David may have one, and then Mary's going to offer another piece on it. We're going to try it, and maybe we'll do great, and if we don't, we're going to learn from it. But we still get the privilege of following the pioneer of our faith. And the power that comes to us to keep our eyes on the right path is one who loves us and calls us and shines through us and lets us join in the race put before us. And if we let go of worry to the things that cling to us, to the things that slow us down, light can shine forth. For I suspect when we're vulnerable, when life is a bit unexpected, that's when we can really listen to God in new ways, speaking through other people. For God has been faithful, and God will be faithful still. And so the strategic planning team has been meeting. It's such a fancy name. What it really means is, where is God calling us, and where will we put our energies? They've worked on a mission statement. A mission statement is where we are now, why we exist. And we, as a group, have written this one, sharing God's love, welcome, and justice on our corner, in our city, in the world. It's a start. And then the visioning comes. Where we want to be, where we are headed, where is that pioneer leading us? And that's what we're starting to try to seek some of that information after church this week and after church on the 17th. Now, I'm going to challenge you, don't give the ones we always give. We want young adults and children, blah, blah, blah. We know that. Try to vision how God is using us to do love and justice and welcome in the city now, in this wonderful, ever-changing city, or wherever you find yourselves, in Georgia, in New York, in Columbia. Where is God having us journey as we are pilgrims of faith? And here's the thing I know about this church. We are actually pretty good at risk and trying things. Just this month, the session decided to hire Sam Lindquist as our pastoral resident. We have absolutely no money. Yeah, yay us. But we have no money whatsoever in the budget to hire him. So we took money out of memorial funds, and we're going to be asking for an increase of budget this year from you because we think we can do it. We made up a title, pastoral resident. It means he's through with seminary. He's got a year to learn, and we think we have some things we can teach Sam, and Sam has some things he can teach us. We're going to do that together to kind of figure out how do we form him into being one of God's minister leaders, and how do we do that together. Do you know where he is this week? He's at St. John's Presbyterian. We're thinking maybe we can share an intern so we can actually pay him enough money in the new year. We don't know if it'll work, but at least we're looking at it, see where he might be able to lead us, and see where we can teach him. Isn't that marvelous? We know how to do this. There's a book I want to read called First Lady. It's by Michael Malone. And he has a character in that book who's a priest. And somehow they say, what's a saint? And this is what the character says. What's a saint? If stars are light, then I would say that saints are people that the light shines through. Not just the famous saints, because the famous ones are stars too, but the everyday saints around us in the world. Light shines through them and illumines what we see. The light goes right through them to what they love so we can see its beauty. And they don't get in the way because they're looking at the light too. See, God claims us, chooses flawed us, loves us. See, we get to be the vessel for God's light. And sometimes we have to clean our vessel up a little bit and repurpose ourselves to run the race. You may notice down here this very pretty centerpiece with these candles in it. Do you know what it really is? Dana's the only one that probably knows. Maybe Steve. It's an old light fixture that used to hang out at the Sacramento door. We needed a new kind of light fixture, so we cleaned it up and put it here for a new purpose. You see, God can clean us and use us for God's purpose. That's kind of exciting. That's what gives us energy. Because God has always been there, from Paul to us and in the future. May we learn once again that we are loved, and we get to shine God's love on this corner, in the city, in this world. Thanks be. Amen.